cyber criminals, cyber crimes. I told you that my best protection is a pillow, Craig. I'm just going to stick my head under the pillow. But somebody that maybe can help us allay our fears a little bit or do things that we can do to be proactive is Gary Davis with McAfee's. He's their chief consumer security evangelist.
Best job ever. You know, I get the chance to both, you know, look at what's going on in the space and inform our product direction, but I also get to spend time with folks like yourself kind of talking about what's going on in the space and hopefully you're making it all make sense.
Don't we do some praying that we hope our identity doesn't get stolen and everything else stays where it needs to be? I mean,
well, that's one option, I suppose. Although I'm not sure if the cyber criminals, I think the cyber criminal would appreciate if that was the only tactic you took.
So what are things that we have not been doing and that we should be doing?
You know, one of the things I'm finding is that even though consumers hear about all this noise that's going on, about the breaches and the all this bad stuff getting out there, it's surprising to me how little consumers have done to protect themselves. You know, almost you know, two-thirds of consumers still, even though they've heard about these big breaches, they really aren't doing anything. And there's two reasons for that. One is optimism bias, where they're basically thinking, well, geez, it's not going to happen to me. It'll happen to my friend or my neighbor. And the second one is security fatigue, where they hear of so many stories, they just kind of throw their hands up and say, well, yeah, I'm not going to worry about it. And both of those are very dangerous because when you're a victim and your identity's been stolen and someone's either taken a credit card or done insurance fraud or maybe submitted a tax form on your behalf, that's when it's really complex and it gets expensive to remedy.
It seems, though, we try to protect our own devices, but yet, because we're so connected, other people's things may not be secure. So somehow we think, well, it's out of our hands. How are we even going to protect ourselves once our information is stored on somebody else's database?
Yeah, that's really the challenge, because you're right. When there's not, if you did a good job of you're keeping your antivirus up to date, you're changing your passwords, you're applying updates, you're doing all the things you should be doing. But then when an Equifax type breach takes place, then you're like, what else could I have done? Right? And in that case, it's really more about monitoring and understanding what's going on. Because what the bad guys are doing is it's just not, you know, an Equifax, but they're trying to collect as much information about you as they can, and then they're determining what's the best time to use that knowledge against you. For example, if all they have is your Social Security number, that's important. But what they really want, they want your Social Security number, they want your insurance company, they want your date of birth, they want all these other sources of data, because the more data they have, the more valuable it becomes, and the more premium they can get for it off the dark web.
How are they collecting all this? That seems like more than a full-time job to get all that, you know, the pieces, parts, and put these puzzles together, and then hopefully I have something that they want.
Well, you know, it's just, if you look at all the breaches that take place, it's just collecting it. They'll look for a thread. For example, let's say that they breach Equifax to get a certain sort of information, and then they'll breach maybe your health insurance company, and all of a sudden they have a match on Social Security number. So that now they have your health information, but they also have your credit information. So they start combining those two data sets to create a profile about you as a consumer.
And this stuff it can explode at any time, right? Even though something that happened 2 years ago and you think it's died down to something else, that information is still out there and it might be time for them to strike? Is that?
That's exactly right. You know, the information they're collecting, it has a long life to it, right? It's hard to change your Social Security number. You can't change your date of birth. You can change your address, but you have to move and it's very painful. So there's all these, this data has a long life to it. And so, it's not in their best interest to do something immediately after a breach because they know everybody's radars are up. What they want to do is let this kind of sit for a year or two, and then sort of go after consumers on a smaller scale and see what's working, and then kind of refine their methodology to try to extract as much money or do as many fraudulent things as possible.
So, as an individual, give me some empowerment. What can I do right now so I won't fall prey to this?
Couple things, you know, something as simple as freezing your credit would be the first step, right? And something that most consumers don't think about, but they should, is their children. You know, all children pretty much get a Social Security number when they're almost born now, and they start building a credit history, right? And the bad guys know this, so they'll take your child's Social Security number and use that for fraud, and you don't even know what's going on. So, you know, track your children's identities as well. You know, do something as simple as you know, use complex passwords. You know, change your passwords about every 3 to 4 months. Use a password manager. And another thing that I'm surprised more consumers don't do is use an identity protection product. You know, that will allow you to understand whether or not your data is being sold on the dark web. Will alert you if somebody's doing something against one of the three major credit bureaus and things like that.
Explain more about an identity protection product. What does it do, actually?
Well, it does a couple things. First of all, it tracks what's going on when anybody tries to do something against your credit, right? They open a new credit card or they try to get a loan or something like that. You'll be alerted about that. They also do what's called dark web scanning. They'll look at stuff like your Social Security number or your email address and inform you if that is coming up in a dark web form that's being sold, right? And then it'll tell you when your identity has been, you know, and activities occurred against your identity and give you some steps that you can go to go make sure it's nothing bad.
So you're trying to kind of make another chess move that they're making to try to change their plans and hopefully make you too difficult to make somebody else an easier target then.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, think about health insurance, right? That's probably the area that is most of interest to the bad guys today. You know, credit cards have very short lives, and it's really easy to detect a fraudulent credit card, at least for the banks. And the banks still typically inform a consumer, hey, this transaction occurred. It doesn't look like it's typically something you would do. But what's different is insurance. For example, it's not uncommon for a consumer to have multiple health care providers and health insurance companies. And you have HIPAA, which is intended to keep all these different data sets separate. And so if they start doing insurance fraud against your health insurance company, that's where it's really hard to find out what's going on. So stay in touch with what's going on from your health insurance company to understand if anybody's taking out claims against your identity.
Gary, is there anything we can do about public records that are out there, whether it's through the courts, police departments, whatever, that might have some information we don't want to share?
You know, I'm not as well versed in that. You know, I have seen some recent activity about there's this company, I forgot the name of it, that basically if you've been arrested and you've been charged with something, they'll take your photograph and put it up on the web, and it's really difficult to get that removed. And I think the law enforcement had just actually gone after that company and shut them down. But if it's in the public record, you know, here in the States, there's really not much you can do because that's why it's part of the public record. Now, they have been doing things in Europe where they have the right to be forgotten. If you can prove that something is posted about you that is no longer relevant or has meaning, then you can send an email or a transaction to whoever's posting that and require that they take it down. But I don't believe we have that right here in the United States yet.
We're talking today with Gary Davis, McAfee's Chief Consumer Security Evangelist. You made me a believer now. Where can we get some more information about some of the things you've been talking about today?
We have a very healthy blog program, and actually we're putting a blog up today. If you just search on Gary Davis McAfee, the very number one hit will take you to my blog page, and you'll see a really nice article that kind of reflects what's going on around the anniversary of Equifax and different things you can do to stay safe.
Sounds great. Thanks for your time, Gary. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks. Gary Davis joining us this morning. Craig, I think I still want the pillow, though. Just every once in a while, I'll put my head under the pillow.
Oh, yeah.
With all these different data breaches, and you wonder what information that they have out there, and then you realize there's not a whole who's doing anything for these cyber criminals. Who's going after them? Where are they? You know, what country are they coming from?
That's right. They might not even be here.
And what are they up to as well?